About the last time your child or your parent or grandparents said something funny or something they thought was funny or showed you one of their favorite comedy movies or sitcoms. If you found yourself a bit confused about what was supposed to be funny, you are not alone. Connecting with another generation's humor can be tough. There's a big difference between the TV shows of the past and the TikTok memes of today. But some research shows that our senses of humor may also change as we age, making a universally funny joke really hard to come by. Our next guest has looked into how our humor changes as we get older and what types of jokes land best with different generations. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a type of humor, a show, a movie in particular, that falls flat from one generation to another for you? Or is there something that brings together all generations of your family or group of friends or coworkers? Call in at 800-642-1234. Jennifer Stanley is an associate professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Akron, where she directs the Emotions and Aging Lab. Jenny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this could feel like something we sort of know anecdotally, but it sounds like there are some measurable, even testable differences in our senses of humor. What got you interested in studying this as part of your broader work on emotions and aging?
Actually, another research article that was published a few years before this one got me interested because they found age differences in people's understanding of humor in the British sitcom The Office, the British version of it. And they found that older adults were less likely to understand the social gaffes that were being made by the main character. I think his name is David in that version. And young adults were better able to understand what was happening, those social gaffes that David was creating. And so I was interested in investigating that more to see if I could replicate the finding and maybe discover why we saw those age differences.
And one thing that seems like it'd be really hard to tease out is, you know, are there differences between different generations, like millennials, Gen Xers, baby boomers? Or is the difference how old you are? And maybe we all go through, I don't know, different stages of humor comprehension. How do you start to separate that out?
Yeah, that's a really excellent point. And in my study and the previous paper, we weren't able to tease them apart because we both used a cross-sectional design. So we both were just looking at today's young adults and comparing them to today's older adults. So that doesn't tell you if it's something that changes across a person's lifespan or if it's something about being part of that generation that just a certain type of thing tickles your funny bone, specific to that cohort.
Well, I want to check out some of the comedy that was part of your own research. This is the show Curb Your Enthusiasm, and here's Larry David asking his waiter how much a friend left for a tip on their last visit.
I was in here. I was with a guy. I'm just curious. What do they leave?
It was a healthy tip.
Was mine a healthy tip?
Yeah.
Was his healthier? Let me ask you this question. Was it over $12?
Do you want me to refill your water? Or?
Just scratch your face with your finger if it was over $12.
So that's in that kind of like The Office, that awkward brand of humor. Is there a different age breakdown on how we react to that kind of cringeworthy humor?
There seems to be, and that was my main question with our study, was to look at whether there were age differences in an appreciation for that sort of awkward, aggressive humor style where it's someone committing social gaffes and often at the expense of another person. So in The Office, a lot of the humor is sort of at the other character's expense. And so it turned out that older adults understood why it was supposed to be funny and what was happening in clips like The Office and Curb Your Enthusiasm, but they just didn't think it was as funny as young adults and middle-aged adults.
We're talking about the appeal of different kinds of humor to different age groups. Jennifer Stanley is tackling some of those questions, associate professor to the Department of Psychology at the University of Akron. And you bring up this phrase in some of your research, something that older people in your studies anyway liked was something more, as opposed to laughing at people, affiliative humor. What do we mean by that?
Yeah, so that was sort of another really interesting finding from this paper is that in addition to watching these clips of situation comedies and rating how funny they were, participants also did a self-report questionnaire on their humor style, like what type of humor they prefer. And this questionnaire assessed people on four different humor styles. So there's affiliative, which is humor that is intended to bring people together. There's self-enhancing humor, which is humor that makes yourself look good. Aggressive humor, which is what I thought was depicted in these situation comedies. And then self-defeating humor, which is maybe like self-deprecating type of humor. And then we found that older adults rated themselves higher than young adults on affiliative humor and lower than young adults on aggressive humor.
Do you have thoughts on why that might be?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, that's sort of what I'm most interested in following up on is there some sort of, if we think about humor as having a functional role in our lives, is there some reason maybe developmentally that the function of humor would change such that it would be more advantageous to prefer affiliative humor over aggressive humor when we get older? Maybe because older age is accompanied by so many losses in different domains, such as in the cognitive, physical, and even social domain. You know, maybe we are driven to pay more attention to affiliative humor as we get older.
I want to give a listen to a particular movie that is comedy quotable gold for men, I think in particular of a certain age. This is Caddyshack from 1980.
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Golfers! You great kid, not golfers! The little brown furry rodents!
We can do that.
Hey!
We don't even have to have a reason.
Do it, man!
All right, let's do the same thing, but with gophers.
Gosh!
It's not my fault nobody can understand what you're saying.
You don't even need a reason. Now, I think of that as affiliative humor, but in a different way. If people are sharing a common reference of humor and quoting it back and forth of each other, you kind of bring yourselves together, whatever the style of the humor is. I know that's outside of the direct research you've done, but what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think, you know, people having a shared common ground, you know, having that experience of people in the same generation all having watched the same type of humorous shows can bring people together. And, you know, maybe that has less to do with the particular humor style of the clip and more to do with just, you know, this is a way, something we all can remember from back in the day.
We asked our listeners to provide some data on this and how different types of comedy play with different generations at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on Katie in Eau Claire. Katie, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. When I was a little girl, my grandmother had introduced me to Carol Burnett, and I fell in love with watching the reruns of the show. And I'm now in my late 30s, and I have a 7-year-old myself, and I sat her down the other day because she very much has a humor style of Carol Burnett, and I was thinking she's going to fall in love with the show, she's going to watch it, and it's going to be awesome, and we're just going to die of laughter together. And she watched 2 episodes, and I showed her the episode of the dentist scene, and she just turned to me and said, "I don't get it."
Oh, no. Did you figure out why, Katie, or was just one of those things?
You know, I don't know if it was just because of the way it was filmed or it just looked older or I have no idea. But I just turned to her and went, "Really?" And she went, "No, I don't get it." And I was like, "Well, you're missing out because this is fantastic." So,
Katie, thank you so much. I know as a parent, sometimes I've made the mistake of overselling something and then the kid just doesn't want to like it from the get-go. I don't know, it's different things, and maybe it's if you're a kid who's used to watching a TikTok video or something, the staging might throw you off. Do you have thoughts on that, Jennifer?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it brings up a really good point that when we see age differences in people's preferences for different types of humor, just like, you know, Katie with her daughter, it might not be an age difference in the ability to understand the humor as much as just sort of, I have a different style or a different preference that I'm more likely to recognize as humorous. And maybe it has to do with familiarity too. Like, how familiar are you with that medium? So if people are watching TikTok videos, like you say, those are going to be these short 1-minute, you know, clips with these great visuals, which differs a lot from situation comedies and things like that.
Thanks a lot for that call, Katie. We're talking to Jennifer Stanley, associate professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Akron. She directs the Emotions and Aging Lab there. We're talking about how comedy hits differently with people of different ages, different generations. You can provide us with your own stories at 800-642-1234. Have you ever felt like another generation's sense of humor is confusing or just not that funny? Has it ever made you feel left out, maybe amongst your family, friends, or coworkers? Or do you have something that bridges the comedy gap between generations? What is it? Why do you think it works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our talk with Jennifer Stanley, psychology professor and director of the Emotions and Aging Lab at the University of Akron, looking at why humor can differ from one generation to the next. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed different generations having their own sense of humor? What do you think is behind that? Is there something you just don't think is funny that younger people or older people do? Or is there something that bridges the gap for you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Don is with us in DeForest. Don, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I have two things to say. First of all, our favorite comedy movie, hands down, is called Undercover Blues. It's Dennis Quaid, Kathleen Turner are the stars, but Stanley Tucci just steals the show. We watch it once a year, and it never fails to cause guffaws and chuckles, and it's just a really funny movie. And we've turned on our friends, we turn on our kids' friends to it. It's just really universally loved. I think one of the things it has going for it is it pitches to the sort of highbrow and the lowbrow. It's got a very sort of wide sense of humor, if you will. And I highly recommend it. It's just a great movie. The other thing I was going to say is I find that probably once or twice a year I get into conversation with somebody about Saturday Night Live, and you know, everyone thinks that, you know, ours was the best, and it's just you know, really gone to pot since, you know.
Don, thanks a lot for the call. You gave us a lot to work with there. Let's start with that idea that my generation of Saturday Night Live was the funny one in all since aren't. Maybe it's, you know, they're all hitting, they're aiming for a certain age range and speaking their language, Jennifer.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and there's also something about, you know, thinking about the TikTok videos and things like that. It's sort of, it does seem like it hits on, yeah, speaking their language, what's happening that's relevant to young people at that current time. And so maybe that's something, that style you carry with you as you get older. I think there's something to that for sure.
And with his favorite family movie, Undercover Blues, in that case, but it speaks to, you know, he and his family watched it. It's a shared language that they participate in. And it makes me think about, you know, the older people in your studies watching, say, The Office. If they haven't been watching that style of humor, you know, maybe they just haven't developed that particular comedy language that the younger participants have.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an awesome study to do, to just, because it could just be, I'm just not familiar with this sort of a strange type of humor. And so maybe the more you watch it, the more you like it. My husband didn't like it when he first watched it. And so I think that would be an interesting study to do. And hey, bringing in people to have them watch situation comedy sounds like a fun study for everybody.
But it sounds like it's really easy to talk about comedy and, you know, how it works through the generations. It's a lot tougher than I would have thought to study it. What kind of research would you do if, you know, you had all the time and money to do it?
Oh, wow. That would be a great situation. I think, you know, one of these major questions that we've already hit on, is this something developmental or is it something generational? And so it would be really fun to do a longitudinal study where I could test today's young people and follow them every 5 years and test them on different types of humor and see if their humor style changes as they bit older. Another thing that would be really interesting to do would be, and we could also use archival data, looking back at maybe famous comedians, stand-up comedians, and looking at what their humor style was when they were in their 20s, and then did that change as they got older? So that would be my first question that I'd love to answer.
Let's go back to our callers. Bill is on the line in Superior. Bill, hi. Oop, do we have you there? It looks like we lost Bill. Bill, I've got a quote from him, though. Dad jokes, he says, become more popular lately, maybe because they're irritating to younger generations. And thinking of dad jokes, you had that category, I think, self-defeating humor. Part of the humor in the dad joke is the joke itself, and part of it, I think, as a dad joke teller since way before I was a dad, is kind of a self-deprecating angle of humor.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And that's what, you know, I'm not on TikTok a bunch, but from what I've seen, a lot of the TikTok videos also seem to have that self-defeating, self-deprecating element where, you know, kind of people share really embarrassing things that have happened with them. And maybe that does, you know, tend to bring people together because we can all sort of identify with having really embarrassing moments.
Thanks a lot for calling it and sharing that thought that we lost you on the line there. Jennifer Stanley is with us from the University of Akron. She studies how our emotions change as we age. We're talking about some of her research on humor and how different age groups react to different types of humor. Let's go back to your calls. Ed in West Allis is with us. Ed, hi.
Let's just state the obvious. The Marx Brothers and W.C. Fields are the two greatest comedy team and comedian in the history of this country, especially Night at the Opera, especially the stateroom scene. We made a really bad turn circa 1966, and you can see this in how George Carlin turned in his stand-up comedy when we broached the sexual topics, and Steinfeld is constantly riddled with sexual entendre that in the end is pathetic and not funny.
Ed, thanks a lot for the call, and make it three hard-boiled eggs. Jennifer, that's interesting. Judging the content now and the sexual content in that case turns Ed away from a lot of kinds of humor. Is that something you encountered when you talked to a research subject? There were just kinds of subject matter that turned their funny bones right off?
There did seem to be an element of, you know, maybe pushing the envelope or approaching these taboo topics that they didn't necessarily find funny. They just thought it was offensive and sort of maybe kind of lowbrow, you know, going with the lowest common denominator, like just because it's racy and you can't believe you would say that, that that is what makes it funny. And so there did seem to be sort of a difference in the appreciation for well thought out humor that wasn't sort of the lowest common denominator versus maybe more racy, taboo type topics.
Thanks for calling in, Ed. We'll go to KB now in La Crosse. KB, hello.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, guys?
Good. What'd you want to bring up?
Hey, one of the previous callers talked about setting her daughter down to watch, you know, Carol Burnett and stuff. My father used to do that with me when I was really young, but he always warned me, I would call it a warning, that the humor isn't slapstick humor like Stooges or Bugs Bunny. The humor is more subtle. You have to pay attention. And that was one of the things that I had learned to do with him as a young kid, and it got me to appreciate so many of the different kinds of humor, be it slapstick or the subtle humor like Peter Sellers or Carol Burnett, or, you know, movies like What's Up, Doc? Or Murder by Death, you know, movies like that. I created, you know, a real deep appreciation for the different forms of humor to the point where I appreciate that stuff more than I almost appreciate the stuff that's out there now.
KB, thank you so much for sharing that. I love it. And that's something I don't think you got into particularly, Jennifer, but that idea of, you know, slapstick, which you don't need, you can kind of get, I think, walking into it versus, you know, picking up on those more subtle, maybe verbal and wordplay cues. Do you have thoughts on how that, I don't know, would that be different from generation to generation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I really get his point, because that would be a very interesting study to do, is to just say, well, you might not be familiar with a specific type of humor, but the more and more you watch it, you tend to start finding it funnier and funnier. Or is it just, you know, you never really see the funny side? And so knowing what to expect and what type of humor to expect might play a big role in what you find funny.
All right, Jennifer, in our last half a minute or so, do you have a favorite go-to comedic form from any era?
Oh, boy. I mean, I do have to say, I've watched the entire Office. I think I watched the entire thing again recently, you know, during the pandemic. And I really do find it pretty funny, even though I guess it's aggressive humor. So I'm not sure what that says about me.
And do you think it might change as you get older?
I do. I expect it to change as I get older.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer Stanley is an associate professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Akron, where she directs the Emotions and Aging Lab. We talked with her about how our senses of humor can change as we get older.